Would you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1? This scripture has been on my heart for some time, and I feel an urgency and a moving of the Holy Spirit to just bring it to you this morning, because it is the essence of our doctrine and how we believe. And this is, in this chapter, Jesus is getting ready to ascend, and he's with his disciples, and he was speaking to them. And I want to begin with the fourth verse proceeding. He says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye," this is the verse, "but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." And I want to stop right here with this verse, verse 8. This verse 8 is the key verse, in my opinion, in the book of Acts. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What a statement. What prophecy. Christ knew. He knew what they were going to face. He knew they were facing a hostile world. He knew that the enemy was going to be turned loose. He knew what he went through. And now his followers were going to be subjected to the same kinds of condition. They were going to face their carnal nature. They were going to face this hostile world, and they're also going to face the enemy of our soul, Satan, who would like to destroy. But he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, praise God. You know what the church needs today? The church needs the power. Amen. What distinguishes the Church of Jesus Christ? Forget about the name on the building, not EFGA. Forget about the name. What distinguishes the church, the true church, the living church of Jesus Christ from all the other churches and religions? The power of the Holy Spirit that operates in the church. It's the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost that moves, the Holy Ghost that touches, the Holy Ghost that convinces, praise God, and convicts of sin. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the church needs to flow in that power. The church needs to operate in that power, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us this morning that we don't become old in letter, but weak in the spirit, praise God. I want the presence of the Holy Ghost to invade and pervade over this place this morning. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I believe it's in Timothy. When Paul writes to him and says, you've not received the spirit of fear, but of what? Talk to me. But of what? Power. Of what? Power. You have not received the spirit of fear, but of power and sound mind. Praise God and love. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to operate in that power. Praise God that the Holy Ghost would flow through us. It's the Holy Ghost that anoints. It's the Holy Ghost that gives understanding and wisdom and discernment. It's the Holy Ghost that inspires us to move by his guidance. Praise the Lord. And I say, Lord, would you help us this morning? Help us. Help us, Lord, to move in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think we become too sedate, too satisfied with where we are. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he enumerates a whole bunch of things. You can read the scripture yourself, but the one thing that stands out in my mind, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Can I ask you a question this morning? Have we gravitated toward that end, having a form of godliness? We have a form of worship. We have a form of serving the Lord, but denying the power. Oh Lord, help us. When was the last time you felt the Holy Spirit welling up in you? When you felt the manifestation of the Holy Ghost? When was it, my brother and sister, that you felt His power flowing out of you? When was it? Has it been a long time? Well, I'm telling you, brother and sister, you're living below your privilege, my brother. My sister, you can have that power. When I don't feel the Holy Spirit for a while, oh, it makes me anxious. It makes me say, Lord, touch me once again. I need to feel your presence and your power. I can't live without the power. I can't live with an old anointing. I can't live with an experience that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I need a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost, praise God. I need the power, praise God, to flow through me, praise His name. And that's what God wants. He wants the Holy Spirit to flow through us, praise God. Oh, praise God. I know someone say, well, you know, you get all excited when you get baptized, but then you calm down. That's the problem. You calm down. That's the problem. You accept life. You get back, you get into a routine. You become satisfied without feeling the presence of God. Why has it been so long? Why has it been so long for the presence of God to flow through you? Why has it been so long? Because you've learned to accept it. Because you've learned to say, well, it's okay. I'm still good. I'm okay. I'm all right. I love the Lord. I go to church all the time. I'm okay. No, that's not it, my brother and sister. We need the presence, the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I feel sometimes... You ever see in these situations with when they teach swimming and that, you learn how to tread water and you got to do it for so long, I think the pass, whatever the case may be, and you're treading water. And I feel sometimes as Christians, that's where we go. We start to tread water. We're standing still, but in reality, we're falling behind. We're not staying close to Jesus, praise God. We're not making progress for the kingdom, praise the Lord. We're treading water. Well, I have the label. I was baptized 25 years ago. I was baptized 50 years ago. I was baptized 10 years ago, and that's where it stands. Oh, brother and sister. Oh, praise God. Lord, wake us up. Lord, shake us loose. Hallelujah. It's a Holy Ghost church, a church where the power of God is real, my brother and sister, a church where the power of God convicts and touches and changes lives. Oh, praise His name. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And what happens? You see, in Thessalonians, Paul writes, encourages and warns us, exhorts us, quench not the Spirit. Don't starve the Spirit. Well, how do I do that? How do I starve the Spirit? Well, you start missing services and you start missing prayer time and you don't come to Bible study and you don't come to prayer meetings and you don't spend time meditating with the Lord. That's how you quench the Spirit. That's how you get into, and I know life gets in the way. That's a great response, but oh, praise God. Oh, God gave us power to overcome. Praise God. In Peter, he writes in 2 Peter, let me turn to it very briefly here. He says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The first one being the baptism of the Holy Ghost. the great and exceeding precious promise, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, praise God, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. By the Holy Ghost living in us, praise God, taking up residence in us, we become part of the divine nature, praise God, that because of the Holy Ghost living with us, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Do you know what that means? That there's nothing we can't overcome. We've been given all the tools, all the attributes. All we need is there at our fingertips. All we have to do is surrender and yield to the Holy Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to move in us this morning. Oh Lord, help us this morning. Stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost within us. Oh, praise his name. That word power, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That word power, what does that in the Greek? It's the word dunamis, and you've probably heard this before. Many preachers have said it, but that's where we get the word dynamite. Dynamite. And when you think of dynamite, what do you think of? Explosive power. Explosive power. That it's not just something normal, but it's a miraculous power. Our marvelous works. You shall receive power. Praise God. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh my God, help us. Because sometimes we walk around so defeated, and I'm tell you, I'd be the first. Sometimes I feel discouraged and I get defeated, and I say, Lord, help me. Oh God, help me. And I got to remember, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, praise God. You can get out of your circumstances by trusting, by praying, by asking the Lord, Lord, intervene in my life. Praise God. And he is so good. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. I love what Paul writes in Ephesians. He says, he prays for them in this prayer. And what does he pray for? That to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, capital S, in the inner man. He prays for the church at Ephesus, and that prayer is for you and me this morning, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the inner man, praise God, because you and I need that strength. We can't fight the enemy on our own. We can't fight the enemy without the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We can't be successful. We can try, we can make resolutions, and we're not gonna do this again, and we're not gonna watch that, and we're not gonna go there again, but brother and sister, we're gonna fail because the power is not within us. We need that Holy Spirit power. Praise the Lord. And he goes on to say, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He is able. He is able to do what we ask or think. Oh no. He's able to do above what we ask or think. Oh no, no. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Praise God. You understand what that means. We can think a lot of things, but God says, whatever you can think, I can do better. I can do more. I'm able because of the power, praise God, that we tap into through the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What transformed these apostles? What transformed, they were disciples, but what transformed them? What, look at the history, look at the examples in the Gospels, how they behaved, and then go to the book of Acts, and how did they behave? Well, in the Gospels, what happened when Jesus got crucified, they all scattered. Peter, we know the story, denied him three times, the famous story. And they all scattered, they were all hiding. They were all saying, you know the adage, take out the leader and you'll stop the movement. That wasn't the case here. They tried to take out the leader, but the leader came out of the grave, praise God, stronger than ever, because he defeated hell and sin and death on the cross, praise God. And he resurrected the third day, hallelujah. And he stood there and witnessed to 40 days, praise God, of his transformation. And when he went to them in these, during this 40-day period, there's several occasions he went to them. And where were they? They were behind closed doors, hiding. Did they know he was the Christ? Absolutely. Did they know he was the Savior? Absolutely. Peter said it. Where can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But they didn't have any power. They weren't born again until the day of Pentecost, until the Holy Spirit came down on that 120. And oh, what a change. What a change that took place. They weren't afraid. They weren't afraid to witness to the hierarchy, the religious hierarchy. They weren't afraid to tell the story. They weren't afraid to proclaim the good news of the gospel because they had power. Hallelujah. Power in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we got to be careful. Today, the born again word is thrown around so fluidly. Well, born again. Everybody's born again today. Well, you say the sinner's prayer and you're born again. Well, I got news for you, brother and sister. That's not the truth. I'm sorry to tell you that. No, I'm not sorry. I'm glad to tell you that. The truth is going to set you free. You need the Holy Ghost. That's the experience. Let me read you something from my Bible that I love. It's the Spirit Life Bible. And I love this Bible. But you got to be careful when you read these things. Because it talks about this eighth verse, you shall receive power. And in the footnotes, it says here, Luke does not relate the baptism in the Spirit to personal salvation and regeneration. Listen to this now. Listen very carefully what I'm reading you. Luke, it says, does not relate the baptism of the Spirit to personal salvation and regeneration, but to the power within the believer to witness with great effect. Oh, I see. So the regeneration and salvation took place earlier. Is what he's saying. It's a second work of grace. The baptism is a second work of grace. That's what he's saying. The Holy Spirit's principal work in witnessing and proclamation concerns his coming upon believers for power and his testimony to Christ for saving work and resurrection. What? You mean to tell me a contradiction with the scripture? Is regeneration, born again, is that a work of the Holy Spirit? Can I hear an amen? Yes, it is. Is it not? And if the Holy Spirit comes on you, the word says you're going to receive power. Well, how in the world could we have these regenerated, born-again people with no power? We don't find them saying the sinner's prayer in the book of Acts. No one was saved. No one said the sinner's prayer. They heard them speak with other tongues, the initial evidence of the baptism. The regenerating power of the Holy Ghost, praise God, when he comes in and takes up residence. And some are not clear about this today. I want to make it perfectly clear. Well, Brother Ron, I don't receive that. Well, that's okay. You don't have to receive it. It doesn't change the truth. The truth is the truth. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What change? What change in their behavior? What change in their outlook? What change? It was the baptism. It was the day of Pentecost. Everything took place right then and there. They were transformed. Right. It was miraculous. They went from being weak to being strong. Was it a change of mind? No, it was a change of heart. An infusion of power by the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's take this, if you want to pursue this to a natural conclusion. Let's say the whole church said the sinner's prayer. Nobody got baptized. No one in the church was baptized. No one received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but we all said the sinner's prayer. Where does that leave us? Would the gifts be in operation? How could they be? How could they be? The gifts come from the gift, the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, how can the gift of the Spirit be operating in you? Impossible. Think about it. Today in the modern Christian world, we downplay the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not we, but it's done. Oh, it's good if you got it and it's wonderful, but it's just a gift. No, it's not. It is the gift. Pray God, it is the changing power. What does John say in his gospel? Let me read that to you. First chapter. He says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. It's not a relationship. Well, I'm the pastor's son or pastor's daughter, means nothing. Nor of the will of the flesh. Well, I went down, the pastor called for, come and say the sinner's prayer and you're going to get born again. No, that's the will of the flesh. You decided. Well, God inspired me to go forward. He may have inspired you to go forward. You need to commit your life to the Lord, but you weren't born again. I want to be very clear on this. And here's the kicker. Nor of the will of man, but of God. When you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, did you determine when you were going to get baptized? Did you have any say? You may have prayed hard for a week, a month, 2 months, 2 years. Some prayed a long time, some prayed shorter, whatever the case may be. But did you have any control of when the Holy Spirit came in? Absolutely none. It was heaven, was God, who saw your heart at that time and baptized you, sent the baptism. Lord, help us. There is one work of grace. One work of grace, not two. One. And that work is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we read, if you look in the book of Acts, everything is about the Holy Ghost. Everything they did. Look at what Paul wrote. Let me look at this for a moment. In the 2 Corinthians, he says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Am I not the weak? Who is offended? Am I not? If I must glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in the basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hand. Well, you could say, well, that was Paul. That was because Paul, God used him. No, that's wrong. That wasn't Paul. That was the Holy Spirit that gave him the power. Paul didn't do those things on his own. It was the Holy Spirit that allowed him to endure, that brought him through all those difficulties and all those situations. It was the Holy Spirit, praise God. And that same Holy Spirit resides in us. The same one. Is he able to do that with us? Is he able to help us and strengthen us? Yes, he is. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. We've been given great power. Why do you want to minimize? Why do you want to let the enemy rob you of that experience? Why are you allowing your life to take that kind of a situation? You don't need the power. God says you do need the power. Jesus proclaimed it before he ascended. You shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He didn't explain the why of it, but it became very clear very soon, because they were threatened. They were beaten. They were thrown in jail. They were tried to be stopped of preaching the name of Jesus, transforming lives. Oh, praise God. They became a threat. But God sustained them because of the power that resided in them. Oh, praise God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, the surpassing power is within us. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, help us. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Brother and sister, this is what the church needs. This is what the church needs. You see, churches today have gotten away from the power, have gotten away from the anointing. We got to have more things to attract, more things to stimulate the crowd, more things to bring them back. And there's nothing wrong with some of these activities and whatever, you know, things they take place on. I don't want to be curt. I don't sound like I'm throwing rocks at churches. I'm not. That's not the issue. But praise God. How did the early church start? Did they have coffee bars? Did they have PowerPoint? Did they have screens? Did they have a small group? No, what did they have? They had the power of the Holy Spirit. They had a witness within them, praise God. They went about preaching the good news. They went about testifying and witnessing of what God had done. And what happened? The church grew overnight. It grew. It grew, praise God. Because people heard the good news of the gospel and they were convicted and they came and say, tell me about this Jesus. And the disciples, you remember one time when the others were looking for Jesus and they came to the disciples and they said, we want to hear Jesus. Where is he? We want to hear him speak, praise God. And that's what we want, amen? We want to hear him speak. We want to hear his voice. We want to hear him speak to us, praise God. Is this power available to everyone? It is. God is no respecter of persons. In the day that you seek me with a whole heart, that's the only qualification. Seek him with a whole heart. He doesn't say you have to be this old, you don't have to be this good, you have to come to church, you got to do this, you don't have to do anything, just with a whole heart. Seek him with a whole heart, and you will surely find. Oh, praise the Lord. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Brother and sister, do you have an outdated experience? When's the last time you felt the presence of the Holy Ghost? I mean, the presence of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it's just the goosebumps in the back of our neck. Sometimes it's a manifestation of the tongues. Sometimes it's hard to describe. It's different at different times, but it's the unmistakable presence of the Holy Ghost. And what does Paul write in Corinthians? He said the manifestation is given to every man to profit withal. Every man. Well, I spoke in tongues 10 years ago. Are you satisfied with that? He said the manifestation is given to every man. Does God put a qualifier on? No. God, the day you seek me with a whole heart, that goes on the rest of our lives. When we seek him with hunger and thirst, he will surely visit us, praise God. He will strengthen us. He will help us. He will speak to our hearts. Oh, my brother and sister, don't live below your privilege this morning. Don't let the enemy lull us to sleep spiritually. Having a form of godliness, where on the scale, on the continuing spectrum, where would you put yourself? Having a form or basking in the power? Where would you be? Oh, I want to get more to the power end. Praise God. I want the Holy Spirit to come. Praise God. And sometimes we think the manifestation of the Spirit is a great power and tongues and just rejoicing. And it is. Sometimes it is. But remember, when Elijah was in the cave, and God says, Elijah, go to the mouth of the cave. And there was a great wind that came and rent the mountain and rocks. Then there was a fire. And then there was an earthquake. And God wasn't in any of those things. Then came the still small voice. Sometimes the manifestation of the Spirit is in the still small voice way down in your heart. It's not always the tongues. It's not always the great manifestation. But sometimes it's the still small voice. Don't put God in a box. He does it his way. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I love the faith that they had seeing him ascend. They tarried in Jerusalem. They went and prayed. They didn't understand what they were praying for. They had never seen the Holy Spirit baptism. They didn't know what was going to come. But he said to tarry, and they tarried. He said to pray, and they prayed. And God took them. Oh, praise the Lord. It came down like a fire from heaven. And things have never been the same ever since. It's a fire that cannot be quenched. Oh, individually we can quench it. But God's power can never be stopped. Lord, help us this morning. I'm going to close right here. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Holy Spirit's presence. The Holy Spirit's presence and mission is to mediate the life of Christ in each and every one of us, to transform us, to change us, to perfect us, to cleanse us, to draw us closer, to make us stronger. Praise God, to give us intuitions and discernment. That praise God, when a sinner comes into the house of God, when a sinner comes in, something happens, it touches. There's a presence of the Holy Spirit because the people are filled with the Holy Spirit, operating in the power, praise God. They sense it. Something is different. Something is. I feel there's something that's taking place. I know it's real. Praise God. Because it's the Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Help us to live in that power. Help us to be surrendered to Him. Praise God. May His name be praised. Do we have a song?